Welcome back to the Open Cut Podcast. It is Thursday, March 23rd, coming off of UFC 286. Leon Edwards defends his title against Kamaru Usman, takes 2 out of 3 in their trilogy. Looks fantastic the entire fight. I mean, I was really, really, really impressed with the way he looked. But to me, the biggest takeaway was the way Kamaru looked.
Yeah.
Seemed like that knockout of Leon Edwards over Kamaru Usman last year changed Kamaru Usman. Either he didn't take enough time off, or he's just not the same dude he used to be. But he was not. I mean, he just didn't look like himself. Leon Edwards was so comfortable in there the entire time. I thought the fight was not that close. I know there was that there was a penalty point taken away from Leon that made it closer than it otherwise would have been. But I thought even with that, Leon Edwards walked away with that, looked incredible. How'd you see the fight?
Yeah, I think the point shouldn't have mattered. Some people thought it was going to be closer. I think you got three factors, man. I think one, after a knockout like that, I think he did come back too quick. And the reason I say that I think he came back too quick is because of his age. I think besides being the bionic man or the $6 million man without $1 million or any parts, I think Usman's body is just breaking down. He's as old as he's ever been with the most damage coming off a knockout. We know about his knees. We know about how long and how grinding and how much pain he's gone through. And he's getting older, man. I mean, this happens to a lot of, we've seen this with a lot of welterweight guys. You know, Woodley, once his shoulder went, he was never the same. Robbie Lawler, once he got knocked out and was in the wars he was in, never the same. Welterweight seems to be another weight class that happens a lot because these are still big size guys. There's a lot of wrestling in that division. There's a lot of big time hitters in that division. And I think this is just Usman's body and himself breaking down. And I think, yeah, coming back a little, I think he came back about 5 months too early, to be honest. And I think with that, the knockout has definitely changed his demeanor and how he fights. And Leon Edwards is running on all cylinders with a little nitrous inside. I mean, he looked fantastic. That's the best I've ever seen him. That's the best shape I've ever seen him. And he's always in phenomenal shape. We have a new fun welterweight champion now. Cool thing is, there's a lot of fun fights to match him up with.
Well, it sounds like there's only one they're looking at.
Well, then we always say that, and we always hear that, and there's a lot of
No, hey, we
options.
never say that. Dana White never says this is going to be the next fight, the day of the fight. He never, ever says that.
I don't know, man. You
He
gotta
always
remember.
says, I don't make fights the day of the fight.
Well, he did after we had the fuck up on the light heavyweight with the
Yeah,
draw.
right.
So
But
I'm gonna.
that wasn't a
I
new,
know.
that
I know.
wasn't one of those fighters. That
I'm
was
giving you a hard
other
time.
fighters.
No, and here's the deal is Leon's as marketable as he's ever been. He's in his prime. He's got that fight. He's got the Masvidal. I mean, just all of it. It's gonna be a scenario to where I can't wait to see new names with him because he's fought a lot of guys and there was a lot of boring fights for a while. And there was fights like the Belal fight that didn't go well with the eye poke. Now that he's a champion, man, this is where true men are built, and I'm excited for it. I hated on Leon for a long time. There's no more hating. He's held the belt, he's defended it. Let's go.
Yeah, and yeah, he's the guy that dethroned Kamaru, so I'll always be a fan of Leon.
Absolutely. Yeah, get Kamaru out there.
Right.
What do you think's just real short on that? What do you think's next for Usman as far as how many fights do you think he's going to fight? Who's some guys in your wheelhouse that you think for him?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't see him getting back to the title if Leon still
No.
got it.
No, I
So I don't
don't
know
either.
why. I mean, that, why else would he keep going? He's already like cemented who he is. I don't know that there's any like, just what fight is there that people are clamoring to see Kamaru Usman in? He's a boring fighter. It's not
He's
like,
a boring
oh
fighter.
man, I want to see Justin Gaethje and Conor McGregor because they're just going to stand up and sling it.
No.
No one's saying anything like that about Kamaru Usman.
And that's why I ask, because
The only
that's.
person I'd like to see him fight is Colby because they're so close and those fights are so competitive.
Well, and the only reason I'm not going to disagree with, the only problem with I have that now is back to my point, Usman is broke down and disheveled more than he's ever been. And Colby's still younger and in his prime. Colby getting a win over him after he's had two of the dominant performance that he had, that doesn't make sense for Colby. And that's even a win. That's not to say like, oh man, I got Usman finally. It's like, well, yeah, he beat you in his decent prime and his body was still bad then. I just think this is a horse that unfortunately has got to go out the pasture. And I mean, I just, the age, the time off. And like you said, that knockouts change guys. And there's no doubt after watching this fight that changed him. There's one thing to get rocked or be in wars and still stay on your feet. When you're out cold, the way he got out cold from a shin to the dome, it's a different neurological thing that happens to your body. I'm no doctor, but I know that there's too many guys that'll never be the same from hits like that. And you see it right there.
I mean, the other part of it is how close he was to defending that, like to the end of that fight. Like he was winning that fight. That fight was over. There's a minute left and that happens. And that's just
a mental game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Co-main event was phenomenal. Everyone knew it was going to be. It lived up to the hype. Rafael Fiziev came out the first round, looked incredible. So fast, like lightning out there, like Gaethje couldn't catch him. Second round, starts to change the momentum. Justin Gaethje's getting more and more success. Third round, Justin Gaethje looks fantastic. Finishes the fight on top. To me, I would not have been surprised if Fiziev won the decision, but when you looked at him after the fight, one of those dudes looked like they took a beating, and one of them looked like they gave a beating. And Justin Gaethje was the one that looked like he gave a beating. It was a great fight. It was super close. I didn't have a problem with either of these guys winning. But congratulations to you picking both the main and co-main underdogs to win and being right on both of them.
Yeah, that fight reminded me a lot of the old Johnny Hendricks versus GSP, when GSP's face is just looks like he got hit in the face with a baseball bat 25 times. And
Johnny
like,
Hendricks can come out for another few rounds. That was after a five-round fight.
That was a five-rounder. Yeah, yeah. And they're like, how did Johnny Hendricks not win that? And I don't think that was the way. But as far as that's what we've talked about before, is when you look a certain way, sometimes it doesn't help. And
well, I mean, you score damage, and one of those dudes is wearing a lot of damage. Yeah.
And it still matters. And I mean, here's the deal. Again, Fiziev gets an extra 50. Justin, as usual, fight of the night. It probably won't be a fight of the year contender because he'll probably do a better one come out. No, I mean, he probably will. Is the way he is. He's probably got another one in him this year. I mean, because we got to remember, we got to cherish the fights that we see of Justin Gaethje, because probably in about a year, year and a half, we're probably not going to see him be fighting much longer. So the guy puts on performances, and I love what he said. Stop giving me these low ball guys. Give me these big boys. I want back. I want back at the title. I don't care who's holding it. I want bigger names. You know, Dustin, let's do it again. I love that fight. Get it why Dustin's in the UFC. Get it why he's still healthy and in shape. And by the way, Dustin can still crack and fuck people up. We've seen that for the last 3 years. He's not a guy that is a gatekeeper or a boring fighter. So please make that happen if they can.
Yeah, that's the fight to make. That's the fight that makes the most sense for Dustin. It's the fight that makes the most sense for Justin. It's the fight that makes the most sense for those guys within the division.
Yeah.
It makes a whole lot of sense. And Fiziev has got time. He'll be back.
Yeah, he's got plenty of time.
Yeah, that dude's fun to watch. I mean, he's no Justin Gaethje. He's not fighting that style, but there's plenty of guys in the lightweight division that are a great dance partner for Rafael Fiziev.
Absolutely.
Rest of the main card, we had three fights, a welterweight fight between Gunnar Nelson and Brian Barberina, women's flyweight bout between Jennifer Maia and Casey O'Neill, middleweight bout between Marvin Vittori and Roman Dolidze. To me, one of these was really close, and it was the middleweight fight.
Yes, I agree.
I thought that was an awesome fight. I was looking forward to an awesome fight, but I thought there was a chance it was going to be boring Marvin Vittori, not doing a whole lot. This was a great fight. Both the guys were taking it. Both the guys were giving it. Honestly, when they went to the decision, I didn't know who won. When they announced the scorecards, I was pretty sure Roman Dolidze won.
Yes.
Because I don't know how you possibly could have scored all of those rounds for Marvin Vittori. And then Marvin Vittori won.
So I agree.
It's a big win for Marvin. He stays at the top of the division. He wants another shot at the title. With Israel not holding the belt, he has a chance at getting it. He seems like he really is just like the tier below those top guys, Whitaker, Israel. But he's the next guy. He beats everyone else.
Yeah.
Like I said, this one was close. This could have gone either way. And that's what Roman Dolidze is coming out of this, looking like he's the top of the division too. Like that tier just under the very top.
I'll say something on that we talked about, and I agree with you. I think Dolidze is definitely a new guy to watch. The thing about Dolidze is he gets finishes more often than not. And that's one of the big Achilles heels of Vettori is he's a big decision master. And that's also
right.
not that he plays a safe game, but he plays a game to where he won't take the little extra chance to maybe finish somebody because he doesn't want to possibly get finished. And he's probably the most durable guy in middleweight, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
He took shots from Israel, wasn't knocked out. He's taken big shots from a lot of guys, but we know, always talk about it. If you're wanting to get a little bit more hype behind you to get a title shot or make Dana want to help you, especially after you've already fought the original title holder twice, Vettori's got to, in my mind, has to get a knockout or a sub in the next a dominant fashion or bludgeoning someone, because he just is not hit on the radar for people.
That's the thing. It never seemed like he was close to finishing that fight. There were a couple moments where Roman could have been close to finishing that fight. Dolidze was throwing bombs, and he's got grappling finishes. It just seemed like the big moments that meant a lot all went to Dolidze, and Marvin Vettori was just like constantly there, constantly moving forward, constantly pressuring the way he fights. Like you said, he fights, he wins decisions, but Dolidze, yeah, I love watching him fight, man.
This is how close it was, and I looked, and this doesn't matter. The reason this matters is there's no knockdowns. There was no takedowns or submission attempts. There was one takedown attempt, but it was half-assed. Dolidze had 192 total strikes, and you had a 218 to Vettori. Fuck, that could be 5 to 10 jabs that matter that maybe didn't really do anything, but it's just a more volume. That's how close this damn fight was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love it for Dolidze because, honestly, his stock in my book goes up because I see him going – if he fights like that against somebody else in that division, they're probably going out.
Yeah, because right.
He showed a better gas tank. He definitely, like you said, he's not just a stand-up and bang style. He's not a Sean Strickland. He'll take you to the ground and rip everything off of you or make you pass out. So he's a little dark horse, man. You got to remember, this guy was 12-1 in middleweight. That's speaking a lot. You know, that was Vettori 3 years ago when he had, what, one, maybe two losses on his record. He's a guy you need to keep an eye on in middleweight, and that's the nice thing, man. Middleweight's mixing it up very well.
Yeah, Dana White called it out like 8 months ago, said it was going to be the most interesting division in the UFC, and everyone told him he was an idiot, but they're saying Max is pretty interesting.
Dude, he was right.
Not the most highly talented. Definitely one of the most interesting right now.
Yeah.
So the Gunnar Nelson Brian Barberina fight went the way I feared it would.
Yeah.
I really was hoping for more of a back and forth, and it looked like we were going to get it. And then second half of the first round, Gunnar got a hold of him, and
Gunny
at some point
is
going to be it. Got it with 10 seconds left in the round.
Gunny is just good at figuring out when to go for a takedown, wait for you to come in, whatever it is. And Brian Barberina is a guy that he knew that could have happened in the second round. That could have happened in the early third because Brian would have got tired. Gunnar has great cardio. I'm happy for him because as much time as he's had off, I think working with Connor, being a part of that group, I think as much time as he comes out, he's never going to be a guy you're going to super tune into, but he is kind of a Damian Maia of our generation to where, like, you got to prepare for that. Because as soon as he grabs stuff, it's not as much the jiu-jitsu style as he just kind of overwhelms you. And I kind of like that. I think that he's a huge test for guys at welterweight. Is he going to put on probably the most spectacular? But he gets a lot of finishes, dude.
He just needs to be more active. He needs to stay healthy and stay able to fight.
Yeah. Well, remember, he had that serious – he had a lot of back issues and other shit, too.
Yeah.
So – but – hey, and then we got to talk about Casey O'Neill losing her finally losing her undefeated streak, man, and getting a one in the loss column. Jennifer Maia brought out the veteranism. I tell you what, I was shocked.
Yeah, that was probably the most disappointing fight for me of the
Very
entire card. I mean, I was hopeful Casey O'Neill was going to be the lady we thought she would. And I had bet on her. Jennifer Maia just bullied her. Just.
Been around too long.
Yeah, Casey did not have much for her. There at the very end, she started getting desperate and landed some stuff. But most of that fight, it was just Jennifer Maia dominating. Weren't close to getting the finish, but Casey O'Neill coming off of surgery, didn't have a full year recovery.
Yeah,
but
might have been a problem.
I mean, it was. I was hoping for more. didn't see it. So that one was a little bit disappointing.
Yep.
What fights on the prelims did you like?
You know, I've always liked Jack Shore. I like him at featherweight. I think he looks more filled out. I think his cardio was already great. I think now being there, you know, it's Makwan Armirakani. Like we said, Makwan had several attempts in the first round that he could have made a submission just like Jack. Jack's good. I want to see him get tested more. I like his stand up. I think at featherweight, his size could be an issue, but
Yeah,
I
he did not
think,
look that big.
no, I think cutting to bantam, he realized we got to cut this now. We cannot continue to do this and deplete ourselves. So enjoyed him a lot. Muhammad for flyweight, par for the course again. No namer coming in, subbing people early. They got to test that boy more.
This
They
is
got.
not an early sub. This is 30 seconds
Oh,
left
I'm
in the
sorry.
fight, and he almost got subbed himself. I mean,
That's right. Sorry, looking at the
he may
wrong
be
one.
done for a year because he refused to
That
tap on that
knee.
knee bar,
Totally,
and
looking at the wrong fight.
maybe he did tap and didn't get called. I don't know, but he gets the win. This is like another, like his third super late finish. The other ones were he was dominating. This one was a much closer fight, and like you said, this is not top competition.
Yeah.
This is a guy who is, I believe, he was ranked in flyweight now. Muhammad Mukhaev was prior to this,
Yes.
and he wasn't showing like he's the cream of the crop. I mean, yes, he got the win. Yes, he showed toughness, but
He may never fight again the same. That knee. Yeah, I don't know why I blanked out on that. I was looking at the wrong card. That's a problem. That's a big
yeah.
problem.
I mean, this guy's got a lot of potential, but is he ever going to realize it? I don't know. We'll see. He came in with a lot of hype and just hasn't really. I mean, it's tough to bag on the guy who's only
We've
ever
seen
won, right?
well, but we've seen that before. We've seen, okay, Edmund Shahbazyan's a perfect example. Is when he got into middleweight, undefeated, he was starching a lot of guys and he looked good. He had Ronda Rousey camp behind him, and then we saw where that went. Now, granted, weight classes matter. We know that. Middleweight, just like heavyweight, like light heavyweight, you can go up and down, but man, sometimes you go down bad and you realize the competition level is a big, big difference.
Yeah,
Or, like
and
you
there
said,
is. I mean, up from Jafel Fiolio up to the top of the flyweight is a big difference. And it's clear Muhammad Mukhaev is he's not there yet.
no, and he and it may take him a long time. That's the idea, is we've seen guys that get rushed. We see guys that they slow roll because they see a bankroll, like Patty. Patty's a perfect example. But then you got other guys that they throw the fire. Mark DeCasey, we always use that. He's my textbook example. Mark DeCasey is, to me, one of the most talented guys at that weight class in any other organization, but he got thrown to the wolves in the UFC and time kept ticking away, ticking away, ticking away. And he was never able to get the profile. I mean, his Fazeev fight was probably one of the best ever because he took everything from Fazeev and didn't get put away. But he had been fighting guys like that his entire career. So it's the luck of the draw sometimes, man.
Manel Kopp to me is like that. He has a chance this weekend to kind of turn that around and really get a good momentum going. But he came in and they were
Oh.
so high on him already. He came in and fought Pantoja his first fight.
Yes.
And he's just been fighting the very top of the division. You get a couple
Pantoja's
losses
your
early
first
on,
fight.
and now he's starting to rack up wins. But
But not
yeah.
against Pantoja type guys.
Not yet. No,
No.
he's not back up to there. I'm not like I'm saying. That's what they brought him into, man. That's crazy.
It's just insane. Well, and you got to remember with flyweight though, flyweight there forever was so shallow as far as talented guys because the division, you know, way back was guys were leaving it, guys were getting cut, the division was going to be away, and then now that it comes back. But honestly, if you look at flyweight, it's not that deep at a division. I mean, any of those guys can beat any of those guys on a given day. We've seen it.
I don't know, man. You think any of those guys could beat Brandon Moreno?
No, well, I'm not going that high. I mean, I'm talking, let's say seven down. Any of those guys can submit or knock somebody out if
Yeah,
it's a good day.
that's been it's been fun seeing all the finishes in the flyweight these last couple years. Early prelims.
Yeah, let's see. I love the knockout of Jake Hadley on Malcolm Gordon, man. I mean, that kid's okay. There's a flyweight to talk about. You know, that's a kid to keep an eye on.
You think he gets Muhammad Mukhaev? That's
Oh
the
God.
fight he wants.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, but like we just said, besides me fucking up, I mean, Muhammad's got to see if he's gonna ever have a same
Right.
knee. He might have Johnny Walkered himself, and he wasn't even
Right.
celebrating. Yeah, I mean, all the fight, a lot of them fell in line. I mean, there was enjoyable fights, there was knockouts, there were subs. I mean, Joanna Calderwood got re-signed. I mean, she got
Good to
back in the
see her
win.
get a win.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
here's the difference though. Got to get another win because she is the classic yo-yo, up and down decision loss, or a sub loss. Here's her second chance. And I mean, she can, when she's on all cylinders, man, she looks great. But also, when you get re-signed, you got to make sure you make it count now.
Yeah, I don't know what the I was a little bit surprised by that. I mean, she's getting older, she's married. Seems like
Yeah.
she's way too far away from getting to a title shot. What are we doing? But if this is what she wants to do, then it's what she wants to
Yeah.
do. Make some money too. Anything else before we talk about this next week?
Jai Herbert didn't get knocked out, so he was able to survive and get to a draw, and that was about it. I hate
Hating
on that
on
guy.
Jai, dude?
I do. I don't know. It just after all that shit with when they that when he went in there against
Taporia.
Topuria, and they thought, I don't know. I think that was a lucky shot, and I don't think he's the caliber and lightweight they need to keep around, to be honest. I think
Oh
he keeps
man,
his chin out there.
I think he's all right. Yeah, I mean, lightweight's tough, right? There's
Look,
just
lightweight
absolute
is
killers
tough.
at the top, but the other thing about the lightweight is it's super deep, and so you need guys like him to be midway or two-thirds of the way down the division. And
I
I think
agree.
that's where he is. And I think he's a fun fighter, to be honest. I don't have an issue with watching him fight.
He fights great when he's conscious.
Up until he goes
Don't make
unconscious.
me Boston salmon him.
Oh, boy.
Oh boy. No, a wonderful card. Yeah, that was my best card I've had probably in 3 years on my bets. I mean, I hit two underdogs for, the first two. That's the best I've had in a long time. So I need to continue to do that. I need to continue to do that with other money on the big boy betting sites. That would have been a nice day with a $100 bet.
This week we've got Chito Vera and Corey Sandhagen headlining a
Ooh.
fight night card, and the headliner is what we're tuning in for. I mean, that it's a great fight. It's also not a great card. So that is definitely the draw. I really, really, really am interested in this main event. Chito's one of my favorite fighters. I like watching Corey Sandhagen fight. Both of them are super durable. Both of them are super offensive. I don't know what's going to happen. I would be surprised if we get an early stoppage, but I could see a late one or this going the distance and being a super close fight. I mean, both these guys kind of have the same symptoms when they go to decision, where they can look really good, but lose the decision. I mean, Cheeto's notorious for losing 4.5 minutes of a round and then landing some crazy shot and stealing a round. But you don't get that shot, you lose the round. Corey is like the best looking round loser I think I've ever watched in the UFC. He looked great against Petr Yan and
He
clearly lost
really did.
rounds. I mean, he's had a few fights where he looks great and clearly loses decision, like gets outpointed.
Yeah.
It's a weird style that he's got. I don't know, but the fact that they're getting matched up together means this could go any way.
This is two of my favorite fighters in the bantamweight division. I'll do a quick soapbox here. Obviously, Vera is my favorite fighter to watch anymore. One thing for him on his side right now. He is battering people. He is taking, him. He will go into firefights. He does not take damage visibly. He deals with it. He is a late starter, like you said, and that he's the Donald Cerrone of the bantamweight that wins a lot more and damages people. He's a late starter and he gets in there, but he is finding these finishes. He has been finishing big boy guys of recent. And Vera is not scared to get in there and do everything under the sun to try to hurt you or get through. Corey, though, is an absolute mastermind when it comes in there with variety, being patient, waiting. He's his size. And like you said, he fights not similar to Vera, but he does things at the right time like Vera that can change fights. And I think the preparation for both of these guys, Sandhagen throws the knees up the middle. Vera has got to be prepared to that, to not take too many of those. He can take them all the time, but are you going to be able to take them the way that, you know, Sanhagen does it?
I got faith he can. I mean, he's never been knocked down. He's been in some wars. I think Cheeto can take a shot.
He can take a shot. It's the thing about in this type of fight. I mean, this is as high a profile fight for both of these guys. Vera is just on this streak right now. Sanhagen, this fight means so much to him. This is monstrous. I'm picking Vera to potentially get a late finish somehow, whether he gets a cut on Corey. He ends up getting in a scenario where he's just battered Corey so much that there's a doctor stoppage. I don't see Corey getting knocked out. I can see him getting subbed because he's just battered and Vera snatches a neck or just, you know, wears him down. And I could also see it coming down to being a super, super close decision also. But I'm always going to pick Vera. He's my bet for the week. Plus 145, 140, I think. I just think he's in the place right now. He's hitting. I keep saying it. He's hitting on all cylinders. Corey, though, if Corey wins, I'm happy for him, too. I'm very excited for this fight.
Co-main event, Holly Holm and Yana Santos. Not quite as excited for this one. Honestly, I don't. Yeah, I'm not excited at all for this one.
And Holly just signed a 4-fight contract to stay with the UFC.
She's like the oldest fighter on the roster.
I know. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, good for her. I'm glad. Make all the money you can. Yeah, I can't be too excited because you know how Holly Holm fights. Unless it's Amanda Nunes and you're hoping that somebody gets knocked out, and it's usually Amanda doing it. Yana has not impressed me that much. I mean, she's done way better than she did when she came into the UFC, but Holly has so much experience. Her striking, her distance control, and her movement is fantastic. And that's how I see, especially in a 3-round fight, I see Holly just keeping her on the feet, staying on her bike, point fighting, Wonder Boy style. And, you know, I don't think she's going to take any risk. I think she's just going to know to get the win. It's a tough fight to get excited about, really.
There are 4 other fights scheduled to be on this main card, and I would say all 4 of these, I'm at least interested in seeing how they go. Nate Landwehr is crazy.
Get a knockout.
Fights are usually crazy.
Get a knockout, please. Do something nasty on Austin Lingo.
So that one's definitely one I want to tune in for. The women's flyweight bout between Andrea Lee and Macy Barber, I'm not excited to watch, but I am interested in seeing how it goes down. Macy came in with all that hype. Andrea Lee's been doing pretty well lately, and she's a big underdog in this one. I don't see it. I don't see either of these girls getting finished.
Before her knee turned out the way Macy was fighting so aggressive, I could see her flatlining a man or Andrea, but and trying or just punishing her. But yeah, I could see this being a classic women's flyweight to where it's a close decision or it's just a boring fight to where either one they just give a nod to, you know, and maybe not even deservingly.
You got the middleweights as the first fight of the main card, and that I'm not excited to watch Albert Duraev fight, but
no,
Chidi can knock someone out, man, and he can do it quick. So that's something I'm always got my eye on. And then I already mentioned Manel Kopp. He's fighting the top 10 Alex Perez, who I think he's got a great shot at winning. And that's going to be my bet this week.
Yeah, good bet.
This is an opportunity for him to really build momentum and get up to the top of the flyweight division. That's what I talked about. He came in as already. This is supposed to be one of the dudes. Yeah. Didn't work out right away. Since then, he seems to have got his footing. He was putting on entertaining fights the entire time. It seemed like he didn't have the strategies right, wasn't getting the decisions, wasn't using his gas tank wisely, was throwing things that didn't always make sense, and he's just gotten more and more at home, it seems like, the longer he's been in the UFC. And I am looking forward to watching that fight. I mean, these flyweights are putting on great fights.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, that's your main card.
Yeah, I mean, it's an okay main card. Like I said, I am interested in the outcomes or how we got there on a lot of them. But as far as, like, I can't wait to watch this fight, it's Cheeto and Corey. And that's the only one I feel like that about. Anything else on this this card you want to talk about?
Yeah, you know, just names-wise. I mean, you know, I always like watching Steven Peterson, Superman. I'd love to see him do another spinning back fist knockout from hell. Trevin Giles is always fun to watch at welterweight. He likes to stand and bang. That could be enjoyable. Daniel Pineda, I mean, talk about a veteran in there. I mean, fighting Tucker Lutz, that's two guys that'll both stand and bang. I hope they both stand and bang. That could be a fun featherweight. But yeah, really everything else is kind of, you know, your lower no-name fighters, guys that there's not a ton of following around, but you never know. I mean, sometimes these cards will surprise you. But yeah, I mean, it's a shame that we lost Vera and Sanhagen a while back on the good card that they could have been on, but they're going to save this card. Hopefully everything works out. Everybody makes weight. Everyone stays safe. And we, you know, hopefully get surprised. But a lot of fights on this card too.
Yeah, it's going to be a long one. And that's why it's good to start at 7. Always look forward to those 7 o'clock cards. Any fights coming up you're excited for?
You know, they had a couple that they announced. I mean, Kai Kara is getting ready to fight.
The new one Amir, I'm seeing is Arman Tsarukyan and Hinato Moicano.
Yes.
A little bit surprised that Armin took that fight. I thought he'd be trying to fight up a little bit more.
Same.
Ian Garry is fighting Daniel Rodriguez.
I like that.
Which is going to be a tough one for him. I mean, that could be a banger.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Drew Dover, it sucks that fight with Patty didn't work out. He's fighting Matt Frivola, who is always a dangerous guy. He loves to stand and bang also, and so does Drew Dover. I mean, Dover's got a chin, and he will just go to the depths end to make sure he can win however he's got to. So I love seeing that fight matched up. I mean, a decent amount of fights that are matched up, but nothing eye-opening. I mean, obviously very excited here down the road for Max against Arnold Allen. I still have a lot. We're going to talk about that. That's going to be a lot of fun to talk about that fight. Anticipation for that.
Yeah, then it seems like before you know it, we got another pay-per-view coming up.
That seems to be the trend of the year, man. I mean, UFC 287, Pereira, Israel, that seems like it just happened yesterday, which I'm not mad about. Fourth fight, a lot of questions, man. And on the same card, I mean, that card is not bad at all. And, I mean, Jorge Masvidal coming back, pissed off that he got knocked out by Usman, ready to get back in the win column. He's fighting Gilbert Burns, who is no easy match for anybody. That's shaping out to be a pretty good pay-per-view. Not the biggest one of the year, but definitely one to pay attention. And there's a lot of names. I mean, there's names all over. I mean, we got Chris Barnett coming back. We'll get some dancing, hopefully some flips. Shell Watterson's trying to get maybe her last fight in. Michael Chiesa, the Leech. Kelvin Gastelum, Chris Curtis. That's a fight to me. I don't know. You know, Chris Curtis is – He's a dark horse sometimes. He shows up.
Yeah, I like that fight for both those guys. Neither of those guys are huge middleweights. They're both right about at that point in the division. I think that fight makes a lot of sense. Yeah, this is it's a good card. And like I said, we've got one event between now and then, and it's this Vera Sanhagen fight. So we've been getting rapid fire pay-per-views of late, and the ones between have not been like they were at the end of last year, at least.
No, God, thank God. So, they're just taking all our money with the pay-per-views, but whatever, I'll deal with it as long as I'm winning money.
So we will catch you after this Cheeto fight, and look forward to UFC 287.
Absolutely, we'll catch you then.